O joy that seekest me through pain, I cannot close my heart to thee. I trace the rainbow through the rain and feel the promise is not vain, that morn shall tearless be. O cross that liftest up my head, I dare not ask to hide from life's glory dead, and from the ground there blossoms red life that shall endless be. O love that will not let me go,
amen. Amen. Thank God for that old hymn and the wonderful truth of it. I would to God that first verse would be our prayer. We'd give ourselves to Him. Open your Bibles tonight to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. This is Labor Day holiday weekend. Labor Day is a holiday dedicated to recognize the workforce, the working man and woman in America. And I want to preach tonight on this subject. Hard work ain't sin. Or hard work is not sin. That'll cover those from Myrtle Springs and the city folks also. If you found your place in Proverbs chapter 6, stand with me and I shall begin to read in verse number 6. I love the way Solomon deals with this. He just cuts to the chase. He gets to the meat of the message. He doesn't beat around the bush and slip up on a blind side. He said, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Hey, have you come to the place where you can't learn anything else? Do you already know it all and you have all the wisdom you need? No, when I see something that says learn this and be wise, I want to learn it. Because wisdom is looking at the life, at the world, at situations from God's point of view. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways and be wise. The ant have no guide, no overseer or ruler. The ant provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep and a little slumber and a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come on. Come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Go through the Word of God, and you'll not find God ever saying any good thing about a lazy person. Over and over again, He tries to teach us to be diligent, industrious, hard-working people. Because hard work's not sin. Hard work, honest labor is not sin. Manual labor, if it's honest, is not sin. You don't have to be an executive to be pleasing to God. Many executives aren't pleasing to God. You don't have to be a CEO to be pleasing to God or to be somebody special to Him. You can be just an ordinary person who works hard and you're honest and diligent and industrious, doing your best for God, and I want you to know you're important to God. Father, help me tonight to say some things that would encourage our people to do our best for You, to help our people train their children in a good work ethic, to help each of us to realize that God didn't make us to be sitters but doers. Now, Lord God, I ask for Your help and Your wisdom tonight as I bring this message. Help the truth from God's Word. Help our people to be more Christ-like and God-honoring so they can be God-blessed in their lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. One of the tragedies of our day is the poor work ethic among most of the younger generation and many of the older generation. Every now and then I'll need something done around the house that I promise my wife I won't do or I can't do, and I'll get somebody here at the church to come and pay. I'll pay them and get them to help me. I like to use our teenagers to find out who will work and who will not work. And I like to take some of those that, you know, are college students or are there needing some income just to see if they're going to work. You see, almost always somebody writes me for a reference when they get a job. And I'm not going to lie for them. If they don't have a good work ethic, I'm not going to say they'll make you a good employee. You say, you wouldn't do that. I'm going to tell the truth. I'm not going to lie for anybody. Okay? A poor work ethic reveals sin in two areas. It reveals the parent's sin by not teaching their child the importance of honest, hard work. Mom and Daddy, if you're not training your children to work, shame on you. You're going to answer to God for that. Teach them to work. Well, I want them to have it better than I did. Well, you're not going to have it. They're not going to have it better than you did if they don't have a good work ethic, because nothing comes without work of some sort. I've discovered that nobody starts at the top. You've got to work. So, poor work ethic reveals sin on the parents' part in training, not training their children to be good workers, to have a good work ethic, to do what they ought to do and a little bit more, to go a little further. My daddy told me when I was leaving home to take my job and start making my own way, one of the things he said was, son, always do more than you're paid for and you'll always have a job. You know, I found that to be true. Instead of doing as little as you can get by with, do more than you're paid for. And people will want you. People will want you. My daddy started early teaching me to work. I told someone this morning, our lawn, when we built the house, and I was in the fourth grade, our front and back lawn was more than an acre. And Daddy bought Bermuda grass seed and sowed it there to get a lawn. And the only lawnmower, and we had never had a lawn before. Before then, you'd sweep the yard. You'd cut down the grass and sweep it, and it would be clean. And Mama and Daddy would make sure all the broom marks would go the same way. And then we got this new house, and Daddy built a little four-room house, two bedrooms, a living room and a kitchen, a front porch, a rear door, and a path. And Daddy decided he was going to have a grass lawn. Now that meant that we had to have a lawnmower. And man, I was excited about these newfangled lawnmowers. You pull this string and it goes, you know. Daddy came home with a lawnmower and it didn't have that kind of motor on it. I was the motor. It had two wheels and a reel, and Daddy had fertilized that yard so the grass would grow faster, I think, just to teach me to work. Parents, if you're not teaching your children to work, to have to do honest, hard work, you're doing them a terrible injustice, and I believe you're sinning against God and against your child. And then the child sins and will keep on sinning because of his laziness, as the Bible calls it, his slothfulness, or being a sluggard. Now, I want you to know the depraved nature of man finds it easy to be lazy. Most of us can just curl up by the hard work and take a nap and not have any conviction about it at all. But God intended for man to be a diligent worker even when he was in the very best environment ever known to man. Before there was no sin, before there was no curse, before there was no thorns or thistles, God put Adam in a garden and instructed him to dress it and keep it. So man in his best state is expected by God to be a worker, to be a honest worker, a hard worker. Now, after man's sin, God tells us that we're to work harder because of the curse of thorns and thistles. Now, I can't imagine Adam having a garden without weeds. All he'd have to do is just cultivate it. Didn't even have to fertilize it. Just cultivate it, keep the ground loose, and then at night a mist would come down and water it. My, perfect environment, perfect climate. Everything grew, everything produced, but he had a job to dress it, cultivate it, and keep it. Keep the animals out of the fruit, out of the garden, out of the vegetables, to keep guard over it, to be the husbandman and the caretaker of it. God expected man in his best situation to work hard. And then when the curse came, because of man's sin, our workload increased. In fact, in Genesis chapter 3, after the curse, after the sin, he said, from now on, oh buddy, by the sweat of your face, you'll eat bread. It's not going to come easy anymore. The workload's increased. It's going to be harder. Now then, you're going to have to fight the weeds, the thorns, and the thistles. Now then, the animals are going to get in and eat up the crops. You got to work harder. And by the way, we're working harder today because of the curse that God put on this world because of Adam's sin. Now, when God gave the commandments to Israel and to us, he laid the boundaries of our work week. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 9 and 10, he said, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor manservant or maidservants, nor the cattle or the stranger that is within thy gates. I remember as a boy growing up, we had a man living in our community that wasn't a Christian. And he worked on Sundays. And he is a heretic. Everybody said, man, that guy has no respect for God and no respect for the Bible. Work 6 days, but the seventh day is the Lord. Now, we've kind of gotten away from that. We don't like to hear about the 6 days of labor today. The fact is that America's greatness was not built on a 40-hour work week. America's greatness did not come during the labor union movement. It's only been in recent times that we've moved from a 10 to 12-hour work day 6 days a week to an 8-hour work day 40 hours a week, five days a week. With more time off and more money to spend, we get into more trouble and go deeper into our indulgences and our sin. We've also allowed our worldly work ethic to pull over into our work for the Lord. We're not hard workers on our job, and we're not hard workers in the church. Yet God said in Ecclesiastes 9:10, kids quoted it tonight, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. That's what God said. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Then in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24, the Bible says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. Hey, when you get up and go to work on Monday morning, do you think about going to work and doing it as unto the Lord? Does God get glory out of your work ethic? Does God get glory on your job according to your spirit? Does God get glory because you do your work faithfully and you do it well as unto the Lord? Hey, this isn't me preaching. This is what God said. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that the Lord, knowing of the Lord, you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Tonight, I want to speak to you about being diligent and industrious as children of God. Now, you say, what does that mean? It's the opposite of being lazy. It's the opposite of being lazy. As I previously mentioned, there are two Bible words that we must be familiar with to understand the message. First of all, slothful. It comes from the root word sloth. A sloth is a slow-moving animal. There's two species, a three-toed sloth, two-toed sloth. Their speed seldom exceeds 2 yards an hour. That's the truth. When the word slothful is used, it refers to a person being lazy and slow, with an aversion to work. You give them a job to do that could be done in 30 minutes and they'll turn it into a 40-hour work week. And then there's the sluggard. Likewise, this word comes from the word slug. Everybody know what a slug is? Yeah, you'll find them in a cool, dark, damp place. They're little creatures that move very slow. And they love the shade. And they love the dampness. And they love the coolness. The word sluggard is used to refer to a person who moves slowly and is lazy and always looking for the shade also. The fact is, the Bible does not have even one good thing to say about a lazy person. A slothful person, a sluggard, a lazy person is one who will not work, or if he does, he's not going to work hard. And I want you to know this is the tendency of every one of us in this old sinful flesh. I want you to know if you have a good work ethic and you work hard, somebody helped you to overcome that tendency in your life. And you ought to thank God for that person. Our depraved nature automatically puts us in opposition to what God says we're to do when it comes to work. For a child of God, for a child to overcome his lazy tendencies and become a diligent and industrious worker, he must be taught early the Bible principle of work and how to work. I believe that's part of the things that's included when God says, train up a child in the way that he should go. Don't overlook the work ethic. If you ignore that, you're cursing your child to an inferior life on this earth. A man can overcome laziness, but the later you wait, the more difficult it's going to be. And I promise you, the majority of the people we have to deal with and we help over and over again are people that have never been taught a good work ethic. Well, this is so important to God that God moved the Apostle Paul to say, if a man will not work, he ought not eat. Now, he didn't say if a man can't work. He's not talking about a person having disabilities and not able to work. He's talking about a lazy person. A person that wants somebody else to do the work and he wants to sit at the table and eat out of their work labor and out of their benefits. If they will not work, they should not eat, shall not eat. Now, I want you to consider just a few quick thoughts tonight in light of hard work ain't sin. Number one, being diligent and industrious honors and glorifies God. You don't have to come to church only to honor God. You don't have to sing hymns and give tithes and teach a class to honor God. Honest, hard work, providing for your family, honors God. In fact, he says we're to do more of that than we do resting. We're to do more of that than we do worshiping on Sunday. We have 6 days to labor, 1 day to gather and worship God in the church age, in the Lord's house. It honors God and glorifies God. Paul said in Colossians 3, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Romans 12:11 says, not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Bible says in Proverbs 10:5, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Now, what I've just read in Proverbs 10:5, we're told that a wise son is one who works when it's time to work. And the Bible tells us there is a time to work and a time to play. There's a time to work and a time to rest. There's a time to work and a time to gather for worship. We've got to make sure we know the difference. The wise son works when it's time to work. He works in the harvest time, and he's diligent and industrious. He's not lazy. However, he goes on to say that the sleeping son, the lazy son, who will not work at harvest time, brings shame to the father. Now, if that's true in the physical sense, how much more is it true in the spiritual sense? What time are we living in? It's harvest time. This is the church age. This is when we're commissioned to go into the world and tell the gospel. This is when we're to be about the Lord's business. This is when we have been commanded and commissioned and empowered to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This isn't sleeping time. This isn't lazy time. This isn't day off time. This is time that we're to be about the Lord's business. And when we are faithful, it honors our Heavenly Father. And when we're lazy about the Lord's work, it brings shame because we're not gathering the harvest that's around us. Lazy, slothful, sluggard Christians bring shame to God. Diligent, industrious, honest Christians bring glory and honor to their Heavenly Father's name. Therefore, we're told in the Scripture, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Now look at that. It did not say when you go soul winning, or when you're teaching your class, or when you're singing in church. It said, whatsoever you do. Whatever we do. It's not just speaking about Christian service or church work. Whatever we do. It means whether we're digging ditches or washing dishes or ironing clothes or mowing the lawn or working in the office or laying brick or driving a bus, whatever you do in honest work, do it as unto the Lord. Slothful service of any kind, and especially in the Lord's work, dishonors God and honors Satan and sin. Secondly, the successful person is not necessarily more intelligent or more talented, but mainly are those who are diligent. Diligent. They work harder and they work smarter. It's not sin to work smart. Okay? If I've got to move dirt, and I've got a choice of taking a 2-gallon bucket and moving this mountain of dirt, or a wheelbarrow and moving the dirt, I'm going to work smarter. It's harder to use the bucket, but it's smarter. And I can get the job done and get it done better and quicker. So the successful person is not a person necessarily that's more talented or more intelligent, but mainly they're those who are more diligent. They work harder and smarter. God says in Proverbs 12, verse 24, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. And God is saying the diligent worker, he is going to be in charge. He's going to be the boss. He's going to be promoted. The lazy, the slothful worker is going to be under rule, under somebody else's control. Now, you say, preacher, I don't believe that. Well, you've got a problem with the Bible, don't you? Let me ask you a question. Who would you promote if you owned a business? The diligent worker or the lazy worker? Which do you think God will bless or promote? The diligent worker or the lazy worker? Duh. Or as they say in Myrtle Springs, duh. These principles tell us that the dynamic and the blessings of God upon those who are not lazy, but diligent and industrious. You know, you may not be the brightest light bulb, but you can learn how to do things, and you can do things diligently. Diligently. Listen to God's word. Proverbs 10:4, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. That's lazy. But the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Proverbs 13:4, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Amen, Brother Shaddix. Proverbs 20, verse 4. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Oh, it's too cold to go out there. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. That's what God says about laziness. And I just want to stop here and affirm the fact that I believe God. Who do you believe? Thirdly, the Scripture tells us that even the lazy person can learn to be diligent and industrious. Listen to our Scripture tonight. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. So just because you used to be lazy and a sluggard, you can learn if you want to learn. But you're going to have to learn according to Bible principles. You're going to have to learn according to God's way. Wisdom and diligence are acquired. They're learned by the individual. They're not natural gifts. There's some things a lazy person must learn and put into practice if he's ever or she's ever going to overcome the sin of laziness in their life. First of all, a diligent person learns to work without a boss or guide present at all times. Dear God, I despise trying to work people that want you to stand there and tell them everything they're to do next. Learn what the job is. Learn what the boundaries are. Learn what's expected of you and do the job. Now, it's my job to go back and inspect. I don't get what I expect, I get what I inspect. Go back and inspect and make sure they're doing. Maybe they didn't understand completely. Make sure they understand. But a diligent person learns to work without a boss or guide present at all times. He does his work as it ought to be done correctly without an overseer present at all times. Look at verse 7. Go to the ant, which have no guide, overseer, or ruler, but they do their work. They do it right. They do it correctly. Secondly, a diligent person knows that there's a time to work and a time to rest or play. Time to work and a time to rest or play. The ant never gets the work time mixed up with the rest time. Man does. I recently hired Micah and Ben to come over and do some things around my house, my backyard. And I brought some water out there. And I said, now, ever so often, take a break. Don't get too hot. You know, I looked out there after about an hour and a half, and it was hot. They were sitting on the back porch drinking water. I looked out there about 10 minutes later, after about 10, 15 minutes, it was back working again. Now, I like that. I like that. That impressed me. There's hope. I didn't know and didn't think there was any hope. But there's hope. A diligent person knows that if he does not work, he and his family are not going to eat or pay their bills. Hey, if you're sick and can't work, it's one thing. If you're lazy and won't work, what right do you have to expect somebody else to pay your bills for you and keep on paying your bills? Okay? Now, even hardworking people at some time are going to find themselves in a tough place, and they're going to need help. God forbid the people that need help all the time. I remember when Brother Davis first came to work here. Remember that family, Brother David Davis, that drove up and they had a station wagon. And they had a man and woman in the station wagon and kids hanging out every door and window. And the rest of it was full of stuff. And they needed help. And Brother Davis, if you know him, you know, he's tough about a lot of things, but he's got a tender heart, a caring heart about people in need. He came in and said, "Preacher, we just got to help these people. They don't have anything. They're in need." I said, "Well, I'm for helping them if they're honest. Let's check them out before we help them. I'm not going to give them money. I learned that a long time ago. You give them money and they go down there and buy cigarettes and beer with it. I'm not going to do that. If they need groceries, we'll buy them a bill of groceries." But I said, "Why don't you check them out? Find out where they're staying, where they're living." And he did, and he went down. They're staying at a little motel down here. And he went down and talked to the manager, and the manager says, "Listen, these guys are in here using the phone, going from one church to the next every day. They don't work. They are living off of churches." And we didn't help them. We didn't help them. Yes, there's times when good, hardworking people need help. And we as a church ought to be responsive to them and ought to help them. And you've been very generous and kind to help people in our congregation when they get down and can't work and need help to get back up. But a diligent person knows that if he doesn't work, he's not going to be able to pay his bills. He's not going to be able to feed his family. God says if he won't work, he ought not eat. Neither should he eat. The emphasis there is on will not work, not can't work. There's a big difference. Then let me say also, and I'm almost through, and I know you're happy, but I thought I'd do something different on this Labor Day weekend. Parents, teach your children to work. Teach them. Start while they're young. May I suggest you do some things? Give them responsibilities in the home. Teach them, let's start with teaching them to clean their room, make their bed, iron a shirt, sew on a button. Hey, teach them to comb their hair, brush their teeth, polish their shoes. Dear God, Mama ingrained it in me to look at people. You can tell something about their character by looking at their hair and their shoes. If they don't groom properly and keep their shoes clean and shiny, something's wrong in the rest of the area between the top and the bottom too. You know, I've looked over the years and predominantly that's been true. Now, I don't expect you to shine tennis shoes. It's not what he's talking about. But wearing dress shoes that look like a pair of brogans that's been out in a wart field, falling a mule. Or to come to church with shoes on that look like you've been wading manure. Or you come to church and you come to church and you look like you've worked 30 minutes messing up your hair. That don't add up, folks. You say, "But that's the style." It's your problem. You're trying to be like the world. Won't you build individuality? When I started the ministry, it was in the hippie generation. And all the hippies drove Volkswagen vans with flowers on them. Not all of them, but much of them. All the girls had the long, straight hair. You could smell pot on them. All the guys had these little round wire-rimmed glasses on, about that big around. Long hair. Beard. And here's what they'd say, we want to be different. Dear God, they weren't different, just like everybody else in their generation. Won't you take a bath? That's different. Won't you comb your hair? Let me give you a novel idea. Get a haircut once in a while, guys. Shave once in a while. School's starting, Tim. I can't wait for Tuesday. We require male students to shave the beard off their face, not because we think it's something wrong for them to have a beard, but we just want them to be willing to meet some rules. If they won't meet some silly rules, they're going to rebel against some of God's rules. If they learn to be submissive to authority, then it says something about their spirit. Work. Take on some individual responsibility. Teach your children to work. The alternative is awful. Laziness always equals poor jobs or no jobs. Dirty houses, hungry children, and a poor future to look forward to. Parents, teach your children to work, to be diligent, to be industrious. It honors God and it'll honor their family in the future. To work with all their might and to work as unto the Lord is a Bible principle. And I might say also, it's not too late for some adults to learn this. And then lastly, laziness is sin. And it results in the Christian and his family losing out in this life and forfeiting God's blessings for the future. The lazy Christian is like the gambler, wanting something for nothing. You're going to be a loser. A lazy Christian who's not willing to use his gifts and abilities for the Lord, according to Matthew chapter 25, and the talents. You just keep it for yourself. You don't use it for the Lord. Don't increase it. Use it and it'll increase. Refuse to use it and you'll lose it. God will take it from you. The lazy Christian will lose God's blessings and God's trust on his life. The lazy Christian will lose his self-respect and contentment. And the lazy Christian will get to live to see his children and his wife or her husband living in want and squalor when they could have God's blessings and God's well done. I'm through. Which are you? Are you a slothful Christian or a diligent Christian? Are you a industrious worker or a lazy worker? I know what I want to be for God. I know the kind of person I want to be. A long time ago, I settled the fact that I want to live by Bible principle in every area of my life where I understood Bible principle. And as I learn and grow, therefore, I'm going to be willing to take on more and more of doing right. What kind of a Christian are you? What kind of a worker are you? I want to honor God with my life. I do not want only Sundays to honor God. Dear God, what a terrible thing when we live in such a way that our Christianity is so casual, when we come to church, we don't even honor God in our singing or our praying or our listening. I want to honor God. And I want to honor God in my work life as well. Our country has set aside a day to honor the workforce of America, the laborer, the hardworking men and women that have made it possible for our nation to stand strong, to be blessed, to win wars, to raise our families in peace. God bless you. And we've got another generation coming on, and our generation has kind of been the techno generation, the sit back and let your thumbs do it. Teach your children to work before they learn how to use their thumbs. Teach them how to sweat and do hard work. Because one of these days, the electricity might go off. One of these days, the cell phones might die. One of these days, the internet and the computers may not work anymore. And you may be able to provide for your family only because you're willing to work. Learn how to work hard. Let me go a step further. If there was no food in the stores and no money in your pocket, could you provide for your family? Could you feed them? You better learn some of these things. He said, I'm just not that kind of person. Well, go hungry. There's coming a day, if I read my Bible correctly, it's not going to get better and better and better before Jesus comes. It's going to get worse. And it's going to go downhill to the place where a man will work all day for enough money to buy bread for one meal for one person. Those are tough times. I promise you, if they shut the electricity off and the air conditioning off, I'd suffer. But I could make it. If there wasn't anything in the grocery store to buy, and the microwave no longer worked, I could make it. But people without a work ethic won't make it. They'll look for a gun and try to steal what somebody else has. Teach your children to work. Honest, hard work honors God. And it honors your name and your family. No child ought to be ashamed because their daddy works hard. If it's honest work. Boys and girls, if your daddy don't go to work with a tie and a white shirt on, don't you think he's unimportant? If he goes to work in bib overalls or khakis or blue jeans and he comes home sweating and dirty, and the work he's been doing has been hard work but honest work, you love your daddy and you honor your daddy because he's working hard to provide for your family. And mamas and dads, don't you be so foolish to think, I don't want my children to have to do that. I want them to have it better, so I'm not going to teach them to work. I'm going to do it for them. You're hurting them. You're stealing away their future. You're hurting their future family's provisions. And you're putting them in the place where they're going to miss much of God's blessing. Father, that's our message. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you don't skip over hard work. And you let us know that from the beginning, it's your plan that man be busy being industrious and diligent in work. Before there was no sin, before there were no thorns or thistles, you put man in a garden and gave him a job to dress it and keep it. And Lord, the workload has never been taken away from us. Help us to learn your principles and put them to work, knowing that when we do, we'll be better off for it, our family will be better off for it, and we will put ourselves in a place where God can bless us. Bless this invitation in Jesus' name.